Okay, before we begin today's lesson, let's confess our sins so that we will be in fellowship and God's Spirit can do its teaching ministry in us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word. We pray that the things that we learn today will be implanted in our hearts and that we will apply them to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is lesson 19, God's Love and Mercy. Now, this is going to be a short lesson. It's rather cursory on God's love and mercy, and because of that, I strongly implore you to get the book, Bible Basics on Sin and Mercy. That's available at this website. It will give a much more thorough discussion of God's love and His mercy and His forgiveness. But for now, let's take a brief look at God's love and mercy. Love and mercy provide the impetus for God's plan, which offers salvation for starters, followed by provisions for living. The key solution for sin lies in the operation of love and mercy, which leads to our forgiveness and an ability to associate with a holy God. We are forgiven initially at salvation, which qualifies us for eternal life, and then we are given a way to receive forgiveness repeatedly in life, so that we can walk in fellowship with God and in the bounty of His blessings. By being forgiven for the sins we inevitably commit in our daily lives, we are able to participate in God's gracious love and mercy, which allow Him to perform His work through us. Very soon, we're going to study the process of forgiveness in considerable detail. But first, we must understand that the source for all forgiveness is God's love expressed toward us as mercy. We're going to take time here to quote a rather long passage that describes God's mercy at work. This passage appears in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, which says this: "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So who does the work at salvation? God. And who does the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do? That's also God. So we do not earn God's grace and kindness, not when we are saved, and not now as believers. God's view of us comes through the prism of His Son, who wipes us clean to make us presentable to the Father. That takes place at salvation, first of all, and then it takes place in our Christian lives as believers, so that we can stay clean and be in a state of forgiveness and cleanliness before God. Psalm 33:18 says, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love." God looks favorably toward us when we trust and acknowledge Him, and when we attach our hope to His love. Psalm 33:22 says, "May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Our understanding of this love will be the basis for embracing all the techniques that are now waiting for us in the wings. These will show us how to bring God's forgiveness, power, and provision into our lives. So you might have a tendency to say, Oh, that will be nice, to be forgiven and all. But you must understand, my fellow believer, everything you will ever do in the Christian life that is worthwhile depends on your being forgiven. It is more than nice, it is pivotal. Love is the prompt for mercy, which generates conditions for the forgiveness of our sins. In the next chapter, chapter 5, we will look deeper into the treasure chest of God's love as we examine the first technique. We will discover that grace works for us when we expose our souls to His mercy, following a simple, though exact, protocol. God loves us, and therefore He has provided a way for us to deal with sin. Even when we fail, we can keep God's grace line open, and this is what we'll see in our next lesson, which begins our new topic, the solution for sin. Now we have some questions. Number one, we receive forgiveness initially at blank, and then we are given a way to receive forgiveness repeatedly in blank. Question two, love prompts blank, and blank prompts forgiveness. Number three, when our sins are forgiven by God in our daily lives, what is God then able to do through us? Some scriptures, Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. Psalm 106:1, praise Jehovah, give thanks to Jehovah, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Micah 7:18-19, who is a God like you, who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Remember that. God delights to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So remember this. God's love for His children stays constant, operating at all times to provide ways for us to live in communion with Him. God's love generates mercy, which activates forgiveness. Because of this, we not only have eternal life, but we have access to His love, mercy, grace, and power every day. Father, we thank You for this lesson. We pray that You would help us apply these things to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.